Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Rick Weibel and REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or visit online at REWfinancial.com. Broncos and Ravens coming up tonight. It's the opener. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, scheduled for tomorrow. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Matt Shepard, play-by-play voice of Eastern Michigan football. It's also the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball as well. A little different to go from the national championship game in basketball to an opener with Howard. All right, so great to have you with us. Howdy, boys.
You know, it's going to be a beautiful night for high school football tomorrow night. Sari just gave us the weather forecast. Sounds like good weather conditions in University Park for Saturday's noon kickoff.
And baseball.
Spikes
have a baseball playoff game. It's going to be at 7:35. They'll open it with Jamestown tomorrow night. They asked me if I was going to go up and do the game, and I said, I go up, I get there at 6, I do game at 7, and I get back on the road at 10:30, and get back at 1:30, and I'm back on the air at 10:30. No, not this time. I've done that many times in my life, but this is not going to be one of them. I will be doing the baseball playoff game on Saturday night, and if necessary, the one on Sunday, which would be at 7:05. They're going to go 7:35 against Jamestown on Saturday night.
That cuts down the old post-football game tailgating, doesn't it, slightly?
To a point. I mean, the football game will be over by 3 to 3:30. We'll be off at 4. I'm not back on until 7:05. I mean, so I've got 3 hours, whatever. We'll put the Notre Dame Michigan on in the booth somewhere. Just kind of like glance over once in a while.
And then
see what that's like.
You've got, what, 100 yards to walk from where you are going to end up post-game football?
I'm going to go home.
Oh, you're going to go home?
I'm going to go home. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to go back. I'm going to, I'll probably be home by 5, and I'll probably go back around 6.
He can't get there more than 3 minutes early. I mean, come on.
You know, I was looking.
Well, I mean, I would get back at 6:30, which is an hour before, the first pitch. I mean, that's I would do that. It doesn't take long. At this point, you're talking about two teams that I have seen. This will be for the Spikes, it'll be the 50th time I've seen them play this season. And for Jamestown, it'll be the 8th time I've seen them play this season. It isn't that hard. Okay. Let's.
Do you think you have the
That's why I laugh about the NFL. Let's get ready for the NFL game. Yeah, it's got to be. It's incredibly easy to get ready for the NFL. I mean, you look over it. That's Eli Manning. That's Victor Cruz. That's Derek Nix.
You got, yep. Not that hard. I want to take exception with something Corey Geiger said in the last half hour when you interviewed him about. He said something to the effect of, over the next few years, Penn State's going to win a lot of ugly games. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say no. I think they're going to win a lot of games, but I don't think Bill O'Brien's a win-ugly kind of guy. I think we always have those games in a season, sure, but I just don't see that. His coaching style is not a win-ugly kind of guy.
Right, and I disagree with that as well, but at the same time, there's got to be some effect with 65 guys.
There's no question.
There has to be at some point where all of a sudden you hit a point where like, oh, my goodness. Because, I mean, they're at 65 now. I mean, I know they gave 5 run-ons scholarships, so they're technically it's what, 70 or 71 mm-hmm. right now. But I'm talking about 65 guys that were given scholarships, and that's the way it's going to be next year and the year after and the year after and the year after.
Sure.
I know what Frank Fina said on his interview last night on 60 Minutes on Showtime.
Yeah.
About Joe and it, but that's consistent. Remember the day after the charges were made, the Patriot News of Harrisburg ran. It was right there in the headline: paternal praise for
doing the right thing.
Right. I mean, so everything's stayed consistent. It's just, I just think that the thing that bothers me is that too often we get stubborn in what we do and we don't admit we make a mistake. And I think the sanctions that were brought down on Penn State are a mistake. Now, does it matter that I have that opinion? Absolutely not. It doesn't matter whether I have that opinion or not, but I'm also free to express it. Now, for what Penn State has to do is exactly what Penn State is doing in the athletic department. They are making sure they put an integrity officer in place. They're trying to, you know, make sure they find every single thing that they do and every single T is crossed and every I is dotted and so forth. And the athletic department has been doing that. That's what they need to do, and that's what George Mitchell continues to report on. And I think he's an important guy in all of this. With his integrity, the work that he did not only in the U.S. Senate but with Major League Baseball, the work he did in China, the peace he negotiated between Ireland and Northern Ireland, which is huge.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, this is the kind of guy that he is. And most people, and this is where, for example, consultants come in, okay? The vast majority of consultants in any business, okay? I don't care whether it's radio or whether it's sheet metal fabrication. It doesn't matter. Consultants come in, and the last thing you want them doing is saying, oh, everything's good. I really like the way you guys are approaching this thing. No, that's they're paid money to come in, and in order to justify their job, all right, they have to find something. Well, George Mitchell has come in here, and he said, look, they're doing really well here, 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 and here, and here. He's acting like somebody who's independent and doesn't feel like he needs to justify his job. He just needs to tell the truth. And there's a big difference between justifying your job and telling the truth.
Big difference.
You know, and he is doing that where, you know, he's not just rubber stamping. He's saying, look, they've done this, 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 and this. It's all good here, 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 and here. So he's not justifying his salary, justifying his job or anything like that. But he's come in here and says, look, I mean, you want an honest report? Here's the honest report. That'll be end up being the biggest plus out of all this. I think it's very important from a legal standpoint that they say that about Joe. It's very important. It's very true. So,
if I can, Steve, let me set something up with the local connection, because you were talking about a guy by the name of Frank Fina. Now, Frank Fina started out as an assistant district attorney in Union County up in Lewisburg. Mm-hmm. And he was a real straight shooter, if ever there was one. I mean, he is a law and order guy, calls it to the T, and, you know, he runs his life, and I'm sure, and ran it being an assistant DA, by the book. He was spotted as kind of like a rising star among prosecutors across Pennsylvania. So he joined the Office of Attorney General, and again, rose right up, and he was the guy that was in charge of the what was known as bonus gate, where the state representatives were doing all kinds of illegal things in the state House of Representatives. He did the grand jury there.
Right.
Then he got to be the guy
like Mike Vion and those guys.
Oh, Vion and DeWeese and Purcell.
Right.
A guy by the name of a guy I went to law school with, Brett Feast of Lycoming County. He had been a DA. Mm-hmm. He took them all down. That was Frank Fina. And again, no nonsense. Well, then he was put in charge of the Sandusky grand jury investigation. And if there is one person that knows where all the evidence is or is lacking, it is Frank Fina. And he partnered with a guy by the name of Joe McGettigan, who is a real close friend of mine. McGettigan was the guy in the courtroom who prosecuted Sandusky, he did all the witnesses, everything else. Well, the guy running the back, what we call the back room in that whole prosecution, Frank Fina, he was the guy doing the legal research, getting the witnesses organized, and McGettigan was in the courtroom. And last night on the Showtime Network, 60 Minutes Sports, these two guys, McGettigan and Fina, for the first time, really spoke out publicly. And I have to put a lot of credence into what they say because it was a grand jury investigation. So by its very nature, very few people are privy to the entire bunch of evidence that was collected or was not able to be gathered or was found to be lacking in substance. And they're the guys that put it together. And they spoke last night and basically came out and said that Joe Paterno was not part of any cover-up at Penn State, that Joe Paterno had done what he was supposed to do. He's the guy that reported it to the guy who was in charge of the chief of police. And so he acquitted him. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. And they separated him from the three guys, President Spanier, the athletic director, and the vice president, Mr. Schultz, who was over charge of the police department. They really separated Joe from those other three. So it was really telling. And, of course, this is now almost 2 years after the Sandusky indictment came down. And I think they Fina works for the Philadelphia district attorney, and he's running grand juries there. And McGettigan went into private practice. So they're not bound by still working in that office. But it was a kind of not shocking to me. I knew that was what it was going to be. But I think a lot of people now had better take a second look at all that went on at Penn State involving Coach Paterno.
Well, and it's, you know, I think we're just going to have to wait until the trials come out. And I've said the same thing the entire time. I think I've been very consistent since day one. People want two things. They want the truth. They want fairness.
Yep.
Okay, if the truth is ugly, then the fairness has to match the ugly.
No question.
If the truth is actually benign, then the fairness has to match the benign. And that's all I think people want. Just tell us what happened. Tell us the truth, and then have fairness move on. Now with Joe, if that, you know, I mean, obviously, when you have the prosecutor, when you have the people that charge in the case, say we wouldn't have charged him because he didn't do anything wrong. I'm sorry, but that carries tremendous weight when the law tells you that.
Yeah, and you know, I can share this, Steve, with you and all, and Kevin and all the people listening in. The hardest decision that prosecutors make is not to charge somebody, but out of fairness and a sense of doing the right thing, not charging somebody. Because you hear rumors and innuendos, you get bits and pieces of things, but in the end, the decision not to charge is a momentous one, and the fact that they did not, the attorney general's, they're the guys that knew what the facts were. Those are the guys that studied the law. They were in a better position than anyone else on this planet to make that judgment, certainly not Louis Free, certainly not the State College Police Department, but these are the guys, the two guys, and they finally spoke and, you know, broke their silence last night.
But I'll tell you what is not going to change and what's not going to happen is nothing will change with the NCAA sanctions. I honestly, truly believe that. And I know there's hope upon hope that something will happen, but there's no history with the NCAA to show me that they will admit any wrongdoing, but they will admit any error and fix it. They'll admit the error, but they won't fix it.
Well, that's what I addressed at the beginning, Kevin. Yeah. I said the only chance Penn State has is not a report like this.
Yeah.
It is Senator Mitchell. He's the only one that can actually sway one way or the other. And if there's no sway. I mean, my mentality is as follows. I expect to keep on doing games with the idea that the sanctions are going to play out all the way through the end.
Oh, I agree with you.
I've said that the entire time.
I don't think, no matter what the reports come out, how glowing the reports are, how much he feels as though this isn't necessary, it's not going to change anything because that's not the way the NCAA does things.
I think, Steve, you hit it on the head this way. If a year from now, Senator Mitchell issues his report as the monitor of all the things that have gone on at Penn State in terms of what they should and shouldn't do and have done or haven't done. And he says to the NCAA, look, I've reviewed all this stuff, and I think you ought to reconsider the sanctions because, in my opinion, and Mitchell, I think at one point was a federal judge before he became the senator from Maine and the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, because he's sometimes referred to as Judge Mitchell. If he says that to the NCAA as an independent third party, there's some possibility then that cooler heads within the NCAA, I'm not talking about Mr. Ermert, but other people, other college presidents, might just say, you know, we ought to look at that again and let's review it. But there was an interesting development also yesterday that made some news, not as big as the interview by the prosecutors, but Senator Jake Corman of Center County and Treasurer Rob McCord, one Republican, one Democrat, sued the NCAA over the $60 million fine that has been levied. And there was a law passed in Pennsylvania saying it had to, that money had to stay in Pennsylvania. The right. NCAA sought to have that case dismissed. It was not. It will go to trial in the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania. Now, I don't believe necessarily in the law there should be a home field advantage, but this case brought by on a bipartisan basis will be heard by the Commonwealth Court now, and that has huge implications for the penalties and sanctions that have already been meted out. But the fact that it was not dismissed outright was a major win for the plaintiffs in that lawsuit.
Well, the NCAA has, what, 20 days to respond to the decision now?
Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, it's a matter of going to court and both sides making their presentations in front of judges. So, you know, it's a shame we have to spend time talking about legal stuff on a beautiful Thursday when high school and college football is just right around the corner.
But how much time have we spent in the last 2 years, not just with Penn State, but with the NCAA as a whole, talking about the issues there, and nothing changes? This is what frustrates you as a fan. Nothing changes.
It's not like you can vote him out of office like your local congressman or vote for a president or,
you know,
a senator.
We talked about
this. This goes back to the original statement I made. Okay, this goes all the way back to what I started out by saying. How often do we go through life and all of a sudden you come up with a position and through pride or whatever, you refuse to back down?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have people changing positions. Of course, when you do, you're a flip-flopper. I mean, you know, but sometimes, you know, you have people that they dig their, that once they make a decision, they dig their heels in and they don't change. And I think that's what I'm concerned about with this situation, that they'll dig their heels in and they're not going to change. That's why I think it's going to go all the way to the end, unless somehow Senator Mitchell convinces them that, you know what? These guys are doing a great job. I don't really know what, you know, how much more you can do to them here.
But you were doing an interview a couple of weeks ago, and one of the comments was that, you know, the schools that have discussed breaking away from the NCAA and forming their own wouldn't actually make things any better because this is the best we have with what we have to work with. I really, again, as a fan, have trouble buying that. I think reorganization needs to be done every now and then. I think we're at that stage with the NCAA.
Well, the conference commissioners of the BCS conferences don't agree on everything. I think that's a misnomer. I think that's the biggest point that is made about them, is that Larry Scott and Bob Bowlesby, Jim Delaney, Mike Slive, and John Swofford, they are not always on the same page, and that would be the five that would break away from the NCAA under your scenario. And if they're not in complete agreement about everything, I'm not so sure even that is a perfect system. I've said the entire time they need to go back, get the coaches involved, and rip the rule book up and say, you know what, we need something that makes sense now for the 21st century. Let's start over. Here's rule one,
yeah,
and then
exactly.
Go through and do it. And that's what they need to do. I also believe that when you are sanctioning, you target the individuals who were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you go from there. In the NFL, for example, say Victor Cruz goes over the middle, right, and Darrell Revis, you know, leads with his helmet and levels him and knocks him out. Well, Revis is the guy that's fined. Revis is the guy that's suspended. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just know they don't have Revis anymore. Okay? They don't put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on probation. And I think the NCAA needs to do individual targeting where now I look at Coach Dave Anderson, who's the head coach, pick a school, Kansas State, instead of saying Bill Snyder, who's obviously has a reputation of clean as clean gets. Coach Dave Anderson at Kansas State. Kansas State runs afoul of the NCAA, okay? Giving running back Bob Buhner that everybody has to have because of his blazing, you know, 9.8 speed.
That would be me.
You know, yes. And they gave him money. Well, you have to sit there and say, okay, first of all, how extensive is this? Okay, if you really narrow it down, it's Coach Anderson and Bob Buhner. Okay, Buhner is now suspended forever and can never play an NCAA game. And Anderson is no longer the coach at Kansas State. And on top of that, he has to be the guy that pays a 5, 10, 15, or lifetime ban as a head coach, where you affect his personal livelihood. But you don't look at Jake Waters, the quarterback at Kansas State, who had absolutely zero to do with the situation, and tell Jake, I'm sorry, but, you know, they messed up, so we're going to mess you up. You don't operate like that.
Steve, one of the fundamental concepts of American justice is individual responsibility, individual culpability, and individual punishment. What the NCAA has done is make it collective punishment. And sure. It's just antithetical to what the American justice system is all about. And that's one of the things that's so difficult to accept. I was thinking, what are the two most complicated things that I know? One is the IRS tax code, and the other is the NCAA rule book. They're right on a par with each other. No one knows what they say. They're contradictory. They're ambiguous. They're capable of many interpretations. But when you run afoul of them, they bring the wrath of God and Hades and everything else on top of you. And you're caught in a web, and it's just awful.
Guys,
yeah.
Is it any coincidence, in all seriousness, that Penn State did not receive a television ban? And is it any coincidence that Johnny Manziel got a first half, and guess what, on national TV next week he'll be able to be on? Is it any coincidence?
Not at all.
I mean, who draws the TV ratings?
Exactly.
Penn State draws great TV ratings.
You think Notre Dame would get a sanction that they wouldn't be on TV with the deal that they have?
No.
Yeah, wouldn't happen.
Of course not.
But we have this concept, the NCAA, we're just going to collectively punish people that have no involvement in any of the wrongdoing. And it just strikes at the heart of the American system of justice. And I feel pretty passionate about it. As a guy who's prosecuted a few thousand people, it upsets me to no end to see that the NCAA, by example, is full of this collective punishment concept, when that's not what we hold near and dear as values in the American justice system.
Right. And I have not changed my opinion. This is the same opinion as groups know that I have spoken to across the state for years. I've delivered this opinion for 30 years. So this isn't one of those, hey, you know, Penn State's in trouble, now listen to Steve change his tune. Wrong. I've said this the entire time. I don't care whether it was USC or whether it was Oklahoma or whomever it happened to be. I always said, look, you target the people that did the wrongdoing and leave the innocent alone.
Amen.
I realize it's a rather bizarre concept.
It's only bizarre in a building in Indianapolis.
Final half hour coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget Rick Pizzo coming up tomorrow for the Big Ten Network, along with Matt Shepard from Eastern Michigan.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track 4-door, $24,352. And a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Here at REW Financial, we strive every day to bring the best opportunities to the table to enhance your financial future in a comfortable, no-pressure environment. We know the importance of gaining and keeping the highest level of trust from you, our community of clients and friends. We are in Brook Park Farm, Lewisburg. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us at rewfinancial.com. REW Financial, empowering freedom, one family at a time.
Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. Andy Murray's on the run at the U.S. Open today. Third seed, defending champion, Stanislaw Wawrinka leads him 6-4, 6-3 in his upper break in the third, 3-2.
All right, Steve, I am not an in-depth tennis fan, but I'll watch a few majors every now and then. Federer's gone. Who is left if there's a loss here today?
Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic.
All right, Nadal, I'm okay. Djokovic, I don't think I've actually watched him play. So
he's kind of like one in the world.
He's the number one seed.
I understand. I know where he's at. I just meant that I hadn't seen him play. That's all.
Okay, in the seeds. Okay, you start at the top, it doesn't take long to find his name.
Yeah. I understand. I get it. Okay, I just said I hadn't seen him play yet.
He's got,
and like I said, I only watch majors. So
lots of consonants and few vowels in that name. But yeah, he can
good,
play tennis.
Good player. Good player. Yeah. Great serve. You put him especially on grass or a hard court as opposed to a clay court.
Yeah.
Serve and volley, long reach. Great first serve.
Yeah.
Great court coverage. Yeah.
Tennis is a sport I've never been able to watch for a long period of time.
But you can watch people go around in a circle.
Yes. Yes, I can.
Okay. Our number, 800-795-9565.
I can't defend it. I mean, but yeah. I'm not discounting tennis as a sport. Don't read anything into that. It's just, I don't know. It's just after a while of watching the ball go back and forth, it's like, okay.
It's okay to watch a guy go around in a circle.
But the men's matches are too long. I mean, well, five sets are too long.
Yeah. It's best of five, yeah.
I know. Women are three. Yeah, I can live with that. I'm like mixed doubles, that's another. I actually like watching doubles. They don't televise that very much.
No, they do not.
No, they don't. The Bryan brothers have been setting the world on fire in tennis for a decade.
They own doubles.
Yes.
Yep, they own it.
And they're most people that are even tennis fans may have heard of them, but they've never seen them play because they just don't get the TV FaceTime.
And the only time they ever get any FaceTime is if there's a rainout.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other day, CBS was so desperate during the rainout, I was watching Bjorn Borg and Jimmy Connors for a while. They were doing best of tiebreakers.
Well, they also deliberately taped Sloane Stephens match with Serena Williams.
Yeah.
They did that deliberately because Bill Amin was supposed to drive back with me after the football game on Saturday night. And Bill said, Steve, I have to stay. He says, we have to tape Sloane Stephens and Serena Williams tomorrow because he works for a tennis channel and ESPN. And he said, I have to stay to do that because of the possibility of rain. Broncos play tonight against the Ravens. Are the Ravens one of the more disrespected defending champions we've seen?
I
think so.
After Joe Flacco, it kind of gets thin in the talent line, doesn't it?
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Is it deserved, though, especially from the offensive side of things?
Well, Bolden is now with the 49ers. Pitt is out for the year. You still have Ray Rice. Bernard Pierce isn't quite tough enough to be in every down back. He's just not. Ray Rice, though, is a really good player. Offensive line's pretty good, especially when they made the changes at the end of the year where they started moving some guys around to to get Brian McKinney in the lineup. So, I mean, that part's okay. But, I mean, let's face it, the game against the Broncos in the playoffs, I mean, the Broncos lost that game. I mean, there's certain games where you know you won and you won it, and there's sometimes where you look over and you say, you know what, that team lost the game. The Broncos lost that game. I mean, how can you be – I mean, first of all, the pass from Flacco, all right, for the touchdown – is not one of those frozen clothesline ropes over the middle where he just gets a step, he threads it in there, boom, touchdown. You're like, wow, now you win the game. He had to wait for the ball. I mean, I thought he was going to call for a fair catch. And that's how poor the coverage was. I mean, that was the breakdown of all breakdowns, was how Denver lost that game. That's how close the Ravens were to not being a Super Bowl champion.
And doesn't Denver play very well at home?
They'd won 11 in a row before they lost that game.
Yeah, I mean, they're a great home team.
Yeah. I mean, they won 11 in a row before they lost that game. And, I mean, that's one where I always kind of felt Denver lost the game. I never really felt like the Ravens won it. Because, again, even on the touchdown pass, you know, it's a long pass and the whole thing. But the coverage was so poor that he had to wait to come back and get the ball, for the ball to come down.
And in between, knitted a sweater while waiting for the ball to come down.
Right. Come on. He kind of looked like the second baseman in Major League when he's looking at Willie Mays Hayes. Come on. I mean, that's the way it played out.
Super Bowl picks, I mean, then, with the opening night. Who's your Super Bowl? What's your matchups? I'm going to write them down, and we'll revisit this come late January.
I like the BC Lions and Toronto Argonauts. I think they could be in the Grey Cup.
It's
funny. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are right behind them.
You know, I have to share this with you, Steve. I know you're a huge Tebow fan, but after Tebow gets cut over the weekend, I'm watching Tuesday night on NBC Sports Network. They're running CFL. It was Montreal and
Toronto.
Toronto, yes, thank you. And the first thing they talk about at halftime is, who would you rather see up north of the border? And All three of the commentators in the studio at TSN said Tebow.
Well, but they're right, though. That's where he should go. I mean, they're right. I mean, that is a great spot for him to fit in. Think about the players, okay? Dieter Brock, Warren Moon, Vince Ferragamo, Joe Theismann. They all played in the Canadian Football League, and I said this last year in the spring when he was released by the Jets. I said, look, he should go to the CFL, and that is not a knock on him at all. There's been a lot of quarterbacks that have gone up there. Number one, have made a really good living, and number two, it's allowed them to hone their craft. And number three, some of them, it's opened the door to going to the NFL. I mean, Dieter Brock, it opened it to go to the Rams. Joe Theismann, it opened for him to go to the Redskins. He was actually drafted by the Dolphins. People don't realize that Joe Theismann was a third-round pick of the Dolphins. Doug Flutie.
Yep.
Won five Grey Cups in Canada. Again, came back down and had some success with the Bills and did well. I mean, so going there is not a disgrace. Going there is not a cut down. I mean, it's a perfect situation for him where he is going to be a drawing card. He has a big field to work with. His ability to run on that big field is going to be tremendous, and he can hone his craft as a passer, become more accurate, and get the proper reps against some really good competition. And he'll play in front of really good crowds there. The Canadian Football League is actually the third highest in average attendance in North America.
I believe that, from watching those games.
Averaging better than 27,000 a game. And when you sit there and say, you got to go to the CFL, that is not my backhanded way of saying that he can't play in the NFL. It's quite the opposite. I think that playing 2 years up there could open up a wide range of possibilities for him, because now you get to see him on tape, you get to see where he's improved, he gets the proper reps, and the whole thing where he can really hone his craft, and he can do it out of the spotlight where he's allowed to just be himself and doesn't have to constantly have everybody follow him around. And for the CFL, Well, let's face it, the publicity would be tremendous.
All right, Lynn, let's look at it. Let's look at this. The two quarterbacks that they were comparing, who they thought would be more likely to be in the CFL, was Tebow or Vince Young. So my question to you is, one or both of them, if you had the one or both, who would be beneficial to be in the CFL or a success?
They both would be, but I think Tebow would be the greater success. I think Tebow seriously wants to be an NFL quarterback. He would not have taken the time that he took in the offseason to, number one, lose the weight he did. And Tebow's a big man when he played. Now, he wasn't out of shape, but he felt that if he was a lighter product by about maybe 10 pounds, that he could be a better quarterback in the NFL. So he lost 10, 12 pounds. Number two, he went to that passing camp in Arizona, where he really went there and dialed in. Then he went to Chris Wenke's footwork camp in Florida. You don't put in all that time like he did if you weren't serious about your craft and being better. And I think that for him, going to the Canadian Football League is not a step down. I mean, I think for him, it's a chance to hone the craft.
And by the way, I'm not sure who owns the rights to Vince Young. But I know if Tebow does go north of the border, he would be an Alouette right now because Montreal owns the rights to him in the CFL.
Right. Right. And that's where I think he should go. I mean, has he received too much publicity? He's received too much publicity because he hasn't done much of anything since the game with the Steelers in the playoffs. I know you hate to hear that.
Thanks
but,
for
I mean, but
that's, yeah, that's appreciate
that
the,
was an
but
ouch.
That's the but he did throw the game-winning touchdown pass in overtime, which he did. Then the next week against the Patriots, he was absolutely humbled, and then after that,
hang on, I got to stop the bleeding.
Slid downhill. Yeah.
You know, I think fans of the NFL are suffering a little bit from some Tebow fatigue because I think
everybody is, and yeah. I think that's one of the dangers you run into, because I think it's the biggest problem. LeBron James, I think, is widely respected as a basketball player, but the world is not wild about LeBron because I think they do too much with him.
Yeah.
And I think with Jordan was in a different media era where even though he was frequently talked about and ESPN certainly existed, not every single game was on TV all the time, so there was always this wanting a little bit more with him. Now, LeBron James is so overexposed. You notice LeBron James does not get a lot of endorsements. Have you noticed that? He does not get a lot of endorsements in terms of TV commercials and things like that. I mean, obviously nobody's like Peyton Manning. But, I mean, you know, Tom Brady doesn't seek it.
No.
Okay, so Brady doesn't do it. LeBron James has done some, but not a lot. There's really nobody in the NHL that commands that kind of deal. Kobe Bryant really doesn't even do a lot. Shaq in retirement does more than all of them combined.
Well, let's see. Yeah. Let's see. What's Peyton pushing out? Cars and pizzas. That's the latest.
Papa John.
Yeah.
He's
right there. He has a franchise. A franchise. With that. So, I mean, and Buick is the other one that he's with right now. But he's also a natural in commercials. He's very natural in commercials. I'm not saying the other guys aren't. He just is. You just don't see a lot of them in commercials. The same thing with not a lot of baseball players either.
Could that be because the season's so long that it's tough to be able to get them to record a commercial?
No, I don't think it's that. They every month or so they have an off day.
The vast majority, okay. Right. I mean, well, it just depends on what you do with it. Aaron Rodgers with discount double check. Okay. So he does a lot of that. Roethlisberger doesn't do anything. Brady seeks nothing.
No.
Okay. Well, part of Roethlisberger's problem is the national view of him because of the issues that have been brought up over the last couple of years. I think he's a liability in the advertising side.
Yeah. Brady, listen, he's still...
Breeze is doing more and more, if you noticed. Breeze is doing a lot.
Yeah, he's been on. A lot of FaceTime for him.
But by the way, I'm sorry, we get back to the picks there. I got off on a tangent there. So, Steve, your Super Bowl pick?
A Super Bowl pick?
Yeah. The two teams in the big game. You know, they have it once a year.
The Denver Broncos and the Denver Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers.
Broncos and the Niners.
Yeah, right. I would prefer to see the Seahawks make it.
Okay, Bob.
I can't even get past Shikellamy at Mifflinburg tomorrow night. That's got me stumped right now. I don't know.
I'll let you think about it a little bit.
Yeah, let me think about that.
I've thought about it long and hard, and I do agree with your Broncos side of things. I like the Broncos, and I do like the Seahawks.
Yeah. Seahawks are a good football team.
I just think that defense is very solid.
Really good, and Russell Wilson, just a calm, cool, collected guy at quarterback. The one thing they don't really have, though, is they don't have, in my opinion, a game-breaker at wide receiver. It would really behoove them if they had a game-breaker wide receiver that could really stretch the field. That's about the only thing that they're missing. I didn't like the fact they cut Michael Robinson either. But
no.
Robinson will catch up with somebody.
That's right. We don't like them.
I mean, that's about money.
Yeah.
But that's about money. That's
cap
about
money,
money,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about cap money. It has nothing to do with ability.
Hey, so. Now on Saturday, Penn State plays, and this is where I'm going with this. Eastern Michigan, and I was struggling to remember their nickname. It's the Eagles, because I have trouble with Western Michigan, Central Michigan, and Eastern Michigan keeping the nickname straight, but it's going to be the Eagles.
Central's the Chippewas.
Chippewas, and Western is the Broncos.
Okay.
I remember the Chippewas, but I don't remember the Broncos.
Yeah.
And Eastern Michigan used to be the Hurons.
That's right. And was that one of those politically correct, let's get rid of the Indian name kind of a thing?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
That's what I...
Now,
but it's okay with the Chippewas.
I can understand the debate about the Redskins. I can totally understand that. But the other part where you name your nickname after the Indian tribe of the area?
Yeah.
I don't get it, okay? Because... I mean, having a Nittany Lion as your mascot, last I checked, everybody takes great pride in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a source of pride, and like people gravitate toward it. So I think it's actually a slice of honor. So
I've
never
State
quite
Seminoles.
Understood that part. Yeah, Seminoles have kept theirs, but Marquette changed.
Yes.
Now, UMass and St. John's had to. I mean, their nickname was the Redmen. You had to change that. There's no getting around it. You had to change it.
So I didn't remember that. I remember the Minutemen. I didn't remember the other. I didn't know that.
And wow. I grew up
20 miles from UMass.
But how about Syracuse being the Orange? They used to be the Orangemen. And I think that goes back to like Northern Ireland, maybe, perhaps.
Yeah.
And you know, the British refer to that whole issue with Northern Ireland as the unpleasantries. So they really do. And I think it's... I remember them as the Orange Men, you know, growing up. And
sure,
now they're the
does.
Orange. And they got around it. But it's kind of, I was thinking about that because I was trying to think, where were the Huron in eastern, western, central Michigan? And of course, they're no longer here.
Right. So that's what they were. When Penn State played them in the NCAA basketball tournament in 1991, they were the Hurons.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Penn State in double overtime to get to the Sweet 16. And Ben Braun was their coach, and he utilized that little run to get to Cal.
Okay. Not a bad deal.
Yeah. No.
Not bad at all.
Well, they were down 20 in the first half to Mississippi State and rallied and beat them. And I remember sitting there thinking, this is one wild tournament, man. And then Penn State beat UCLA in the second game.
a little bit of a surprise there.
This is really cool. The night held form, by the way. Villanova won and North Carolina won. So, yeah, at night it was okay. In the afternoon, the Carrier Dome was one wild place. Because that's where it was, the Carrier Dome. Oh. That was the year that Richmond, the night before Penn State played, Richmond beat Syracuse. Knocked them out in the first round.
The Spiders.
In a 15-2 matchup.
One of the very few upsets of a 15 and a 2.
Yeah.
One of the very, very few.
So those people there were, like, running the tournament depressed. yeah, here's your seat. Yeah, you're over there. Okay. So tip it up, we don't care. It's like, okay, really sorry about your team last night. So.
And we got a couple minutes left for the Facebook sign on, share it, and potentially get two tickets to the see the Eagles of Eastern Michigan play the Lions.
And the 73 team being honored tomorrow. As Kevin set up John Cappelletti on the show yesterday, and it was great to have John on along with Merrill Reese. Tomorrow, Rick Pizzo will be on the show from the Big Ten Network. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Matt Shepard, the play-by-play voice of Eastern Michigan, among those tomorrow. And may even entice Neil Riddell to come on the show tomorrow. And so we've got a lot going on.
Lots of high school football tomorrow night, too, all over the central Susquehanna Valley. Kevin getting ready to go over to the stadium or over to Mifflinburg to set up.
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm there plenty early.
Great.
Oh, fine. I'll just come here at 3 then and make sure I'm all right. I don't want to
today's
leave Steve alone.
Today's show has been brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go to REWfinancial.com.